Chapter 4. Intrigue at Court. A few months later, we were back at court. Anne hid her broken heart behind a hard smile, and nobody knew that she was really hurt, except me. The ladies in waiting sat, sewed, and prayed happily. They followed Queen Catherine around like little ducks. Anne never had the patience to sit and sew, and she thought prayers were for nuns. She needed music and dancing, like a flower needs water and sun. One night, there was a masquerade at the palace. The other ladies at court were wearing decorated masks and hats, but Anne came dressed as the knight. She sewed silver stars onto a dark dress and wore a black mask. Among all the other ladies at court, she looked like a fairy queen. When the dancing began, everyone watched her. None of the ladies could dance as beautifully as Anne. I remember the first time she danced with the king. One moment everyone was dancing, and then King Henry began to walk towards her, and everything stopped. Anne gave the king her hand, and they started to dance. For the rest of the night, King Henry danced only with Anne. Mary Boleyn was now very pregnant and watched her sister sadly. It was clear that the king wasn't interested in her anymore. The other ladies looked at Anne enviously, but Queen Catherine watched her with hate. She didn't detest Mary Boleyn anymore. Now there was a much more dangerous Boleyn enemy. At dinner, the king sat at one end of the table and the queen sat at the other end. There was talk about King Francis of France. Anne knew the court very well from her own time in France, and had much to say about the news and gossip of the French court. Queen Catherine's ladies-in-waiting were usually silent during the royal dinners. Everybody could see the queen was very angry with my mistress, but Anne didn't stop talking. The king listened intently to every word she said. Anne was very different from the other ladies in the court. Most of them couldn't even read a book, but my mistress loved reading. She could read in Latin, English, and French. While the other ladies were sewing, Anne was often reading. Anne was better educated than most of the women at court and liked showing her intelligence. She was never silent during political discussions and had strong opinions on everything. The other ladies looked at each other every time she spoke. They didn't like Anne. That night, Anne was very excited. "The king is fascinated by me, Meg," she said. "Did you see how we danced together all evening?" "Yes, Mistress Anne, I saw everything," I whispered in her ear. "But be careful. The king is a dangerous man." But Anne didn't listen to my warning. Instead of answering me, she said, "Be careful with my dress, girl. Stop looking at me and start looking after my clothes, or I'll send you back home." I said no more, but I didn't stop watching. King Henry began to visit the Queen's apartments more frequently, but he didn't come to see Queen Catherine. He was looking for my mistress. He wanted to play cards or chess with her, or to listen while she played the lute. Anne behaved strangely with the king. When he entered the Queen's apartments, the servants and ladies-in-waiting always jumped up immediately. But Anne stood up very slowly and behaved like the king was just an ordinary visitor. Perhaps he liked her more because of this. At court, the king wanted Anne as his dance partner or opponent in cards or chess. Unlike the others, Anne didn't always let him win. She played with King Henry like she played with her puppy. Only this puppy was more like a lion. One night there was a big banquet at court, and Anne and King Henry danced together the whole evening. On one occasion, I noticed they were not in the room. I looked for my mistress but could not find her anywhere. When she returned to the Queen's apartments, it was very late. Her eyes were red, and I could see she was very angry. "Meg, take this note to my brother George," she said. Tomorrow, we're returning to Hever Castle. The next day, George, Anne and I rode back to Hever Castle. I enjoyed riding with Anne and George. It felt like we were children again. But back at the castle, Lady Boleyn was not happy to see us. "Anne and George," she said, "why have you returned home? Has the king given you permission to leave the court?" Anne shook her long dark hair like an angry child. "Mother," she said, "George and I are not servants. We can do as we please." "Anne, you and George are part of the king's court," Lady Boleyn said. "You must obey the king." That evening, Anne's father came to Hever Castle. I could see that he was very angry. For the first time, I saw Anne was frightened of him.
"Do you know what you have done, my girl?" he shouted. "You have caused many problems with your stupid behaviour. King Henry discovered you left and he was furious. The king is the most important man in the world for you and for our family. You must obey him. That is my order."
Anne stood up, her face red with anger.
"I don't want to be like my sister Mary," she said. "I will not be the king's mistress. I want honour and respect."
"Anne, you are not a princess," said her father. "The king will never make you his queen. You will return to the palace with me and obey your king."
"We will see about that," said Anne. Then she saw me.
"Listening again, Meg? Soon your ears will be as long as a rabbit's. Go and get our clothing ready. We will return to court tomorrow."